you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at a number of scriptures this morning, but we're starting there. I've been asking the Lord, what do you want me to say? What do we need to look at? And we're going to start in Psalm 100 and Psalm 105, and then we're going to look at some passages in the New Testament and see how all of this instructs us. Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Now look over in Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no one to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. He called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. May God bless this reading from his holy and inspired word. The book of Psalms is filled. First of all, what is the book of Psalms? It's a song book. It is a book of songs. We've got the lyrics, okay? We don't know the tunes, but we have the words to these songs that God inspired his people to sing. Moses wrote some of them. David wrote a bunch of them, more than anybody else. But there were other musicians as well who wrote these psalms. And in the Psalms, God the Holy Spirit teaches us how to worship him and how to live. God teaches us how to see the world around us through his eyes. On the one hand, you see a beautiful example of people who are honest before God. They talk honestly with God about what they're going through and how it makes them feel. And they're able to pour out their hearts honestly before God. Always know that you can do that in prayer, that you can do that in worship. God understands. And he doesn't want you posing. He wants you to be honest. But understand that over and over and over in the Psalms, we're taught how we should view things. And you'll see God's Spirit working in the psalmist who says, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, but this is what I know. I know this to be true. I know that God is God, that he's on the throne, that he does all things well. And so throughout the Psalms, you have this call to worship, this call to give thanks, this call to rejoice. Let me tell you something. It is very, very difficult to be angry while you're being thankful. It just really is. I mean, if your heart is filled with gratitude and thanksgiving, it's okay. Something happens and it's like, well, that's all right. If you know that God is on the throne, that he is in control, and that he loves you, and that he keeps his promises, and that his plan for you is a good plan, and that he will be faithful and he'll see you through, then when you experience hardship, you still know God's at work. And we see an example of that in Psalm 105. I mean, there's more to Psalm 105, but I stopped right after the story of Joseph. Because the story of Joseph is a story of a man that God delighted in. And he allowed him to be basically kidnapped by his brothers, sold into slavery, and then falsely accused because he did the right thing, and imprisoned. And how do you give thanks in the middle of that? Because God has you right where he wants you. He's doing stuff in you, and he's about to use you in order to save your life and the lives of many, many people, including your whole family. God is at work, even when the circumstances seem extremely unjust and very cruel. God's at work. And what happened with Joseph should be a reminder to all of us as to why we are to do what the psalmist says in Psalm 100, Psalm 105, and many, many other psalms. And that is, keep giving thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Come into his presence with singing. Rejoice in him. Tell about the great things he has done. That's what we're doing here this morning. We sang to the Lord. I hope you realize when we're singing to the Lord. We're rejoicing in him. We're giving praise to him. And when we speak, the Bible says we should speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. What kind of song is in your heart?
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Is that what's on your heart? Mm-hmm. Well, don't stop there. You keep on going until you get to the worship of God.
Nobody knows but Jesus. Ah, yes.
See, that's the next line. Jesus knows. He understands. And as I heard from a woman who was really struggling the other day, she's one of our radio listeners, she called me because she was just really having a horrible time, deeply discouraged. And in the midst of her telling me her troubles, she said, now I want to be very clear about something. I know that nothing I have experienced can compare to what our precious Lord Jesus suffered in my place on the cross. Thinking, okay, you got it. That's right. No matter what you and I go through, it cannot compare to what Jesus went through. He knows what it is to suffer. And he knows what it is to overcome. He knows what it is to experience the victory so that we can have victory.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Look again at Psalm 100. It says, calmly express in a socially acceptable manner joy to the Lord, all the earth. Is that a good paraphrase? Would you say that's about right? Is that more or less an equivalence? No. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Everybody owes God this. There are a whole lot of people who, when it comes to the worship of God, ignore a ton of scripture, even though they say they believe the whole Bible. You know what the Bible says? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. What do you do at a sporting event? When you're excited about what's going on, you go, yes, look at that, we won. Let me tell you something. There is no athletic victory that can compare to what Jesus won for us. Nothing. Nothing can compare. You don't have to go around shouting all the time, but if that's not a part of your worship, you're missing some of what God says he wants us to do. On a keyboard, imagine if every fifth note was missing. I mean, you just start, let's start at middle C and go up the scale. If every fifth note is missing, is that going to make it tough to play? Yeah. Yeah. When you worship God, don't let a joyful exuberance be missing when that's one of the things God says he's looking for. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. With gladness. Well, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't have to. God does, and he says, get glad. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. I mean, I personally just feel that mournful songs are... No! You're not in charge. God's telling us by the Holy Spirit here what he's looking for, and he says, I'm looking for some joyful songs. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Why? Know that the Lord is God. He's God. He rules the universe. He created all things. If you know who he is and what he's done, you can't not worship him. It is he who made us, and we are his. We belong to him. We're his sheep. We're his people. He's our God. The God who rules the universe has declared his ownership of us. That's really good news. If God says, you're mine, that means he's going to take care of us. And I am really glad to know that God says, you're mine. That makes me have peace even when circumstances are tough. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You can draw close to God by giving thanks. By giving thanks. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's the truth. It's not going to run out. It's not, well, that was nice, but is there any more? Yes. God loves us forever, and he is faithful from generation to generation. Now, having looked at these Psalms, I want you to look at some specific examples in the New Testament. Philippians 4:4 and following. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, first of all, that's a command. It is a command from God with the authority of God telling us, rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Does that include you? Of course. It's like, no, God's going to have to send a different revelation for me. The Bible is just so generalized, you know. I think it's for other people. I'm looking for something more personal. This is it, folks. This is God's revelation of himself in the person of Jesus Christ and the Spirit speaking to us of what the life of Christ is all about. And we are commanded by him to rejoice. Well, I just don't feel like it. It doesn't say feel like it. It says do it. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Don't leave out in the Lord. Doesn't say rejoice in my circumstances. Doesn't say rejoice in my feelings. It says rejoice in the Lord. When I get my mind off my circumstances, off myself, and onto him, wow, there's joy there. Because God doesn't change. My circumstances change, but he doesn't. He's always good, all the time. And so no matter what I'm going through, if I'll shift my view to him, then I can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, Paul says. Rejoice. Now, the outcome says, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Well, I'm pretty good about, you know, making requests to God. I usually have a pretty long list, and I tell God, now these are the more important things. If you'll do these other things really are secondary. But if you'll do these things for me, this one's got a deadline, okay? I mean, I've got to have this by this time because, I mean, otherwise it's all just going to fall apart. You think God can handle your problem? Or do you think it's just too much for him? God looks at your situation and says, oh, I was doing so well until I got to this. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. Give him thanks. And here's what will happen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what God promises. He says, I will do that for you. I will guard your heart and your mind with my peace. You'll have peace in the midst of very difficult circumstances. I'll see you through. So, is that doable for us? Through the power of God, it is, yes. If you're trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do what he commands you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God living in you. And that, folks, is really good news. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Be joyful always. Doesn't say act joyful. It says be joyful. Well, that requires change on the inside. That means my joy has got to come from him, not from how I feel, not from what other people think of me, not from what the weather is like. Rejoice, be joyful always, pray continually. Well, I've been trying to pray daily, and I don't know that I could pray continually. That might interfere with other things. It means live in an attitude of prayer. One of the things I loved about my dad, and God willing, I'm on my way to getting there, is that Dad seldom said, beloved, let us pray. Dad just started talking to God the way he was talking to the rest of us. We'd be sitting around talking and some subject would come up and it would be something that was of concern to people and he'd say, Father, we just ask you to take care of that. We come before you right now rejoicing in the fact that you are in control. And And everybody's all of a sudden like, okay. No, praying isn't about folding your hands. I used to wonder how my dad could pray while he was driving. I was a little kid and I'd been taught to close my eyes and pray. So, you know, bow your head, close your eyes, pray, okay? We'd be driving and dad would start praying and I'd be like, listen, then I think, are we going to crash? You know, how does daddy see with his eyes closed? And finally I asked him, he said, oh, son, you don't have to close your eyes to pray. We just encourage you to do that so you won't be distracted by other things. Well, that's a good thought. But let me tell you something. You can talk with the Lord anywhere, anytime. You don't have to be in a special place. You don't have to be wearing special clothes. You don't have to be speaking a special way. I grew up thinking that, you know, when you talk to God, you have to speak old English. Father, thou hast spoken in thy word and told us that even whilst we were, I can't do that. Actually, I did learn to do that. But then I found out God knows regular English just like he knows old English, okay? But God understands your language. You can talk to him. God understands, listen to this, God understands when you don't know how to put it into words. The Bible says his spirit intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Don't even know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I just feel overwhelmed. What do I do? Well, God understands. Well, I don't know what to say to God. Well, why don't you say that? What? Tell him you don't know what to say. Well, okay. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. One more passage, just very briefly. John 6:23. Jesus has worked a miracle and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Okay? He fed 5,000 men plus women and children with what? With 5 loaves and 2 fish. Just little loaves and a little fish. It was a boy's lunch. Verse 22, the next day the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. If you were going to describe that miracle, is that the way you'd describe it? That's the way God the Holy Spirit caused the beloved disciple John to describe it. I would have said, after they arrived at the place where more than 5,000 men plus women and children had eaten one little boy's lunch. Or the place where Jesus miraculously multiplied the bread. That would be a description. But the description that God gave us is near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. How central to that miracle was the fact that Jesus gave thanks. I mean, it's the heart of it. Jesus is looking at a huge need, and the resource that's been handed to him is a little boy's lunch. And Jesus says, what am I going to do with this? No. Jesus said, Father, I thank you. Thank you for this food. You are the creator of all things. You are the blessed one. And you have given us food to eat. Give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. Whatever you're going through, give him thanks. Make a list today of what you're thankful for. And then start thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. And you can keep adding to the list as you learn.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.